We're just going to start a series called Amazing Series. When I thought of the name Amazing, I didn't really think of Michelle, who says many times, "That's amazing!" And so the Amazing Series is about who Jesus is and how amazing he is, and how in the Bible we see lots of references to the people being amazed. And just picking up some of those threads over the next few weeks, I want to look at how amazing Jesus is and the character of who Jesus is. So in the next few weeks, we're going to look at Jesus, the healer, people being healed, forgiven, and restored. We're looking at the amazing teacher who brings wisdom and new ways of understanding. And that's Steamson from Hexham is going to come and help us with that one. We're going to look at the kingdom announcer, the bringer of the kingdom of God. Not just a club, but a people who belong to God. We're going to look at the creation controller, dealing with fear and worry. We're going to look at a man with authority who sets people free. And finally, we're going to look at amazing women with fantastic news. Jesus no longer in the tomb, the amazing truth about the resurrection. So I'm really excited about seeing how amazing Jesus is over the next few weeks. And today, we're going to look at Jesus, more than a pundit, worth listening to. Does anyone know what a pundit is? So a pundit is somebody who speaks about a subject because they have experience of the subject. So, for example, I like to listen to the radio and the television, particularly about football. And there are some people who, well, I'm going to name a name. There's Alan Green. He's a journalist. That's all he is. He's never played football in all his life. How much weight do you think I put on his words? Although he thinks he's fantastic. But when somebody has played football, Jermaine Genus, Alan Shearer, Gary Lineker, when they say something, I go, "Oh, that's really worth listening to." Because they have experience. They know what it's like to play football. They know all about it. So they trust what they're saying. So I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, do you know, if I want to know something about Durham, well, of course, I could look to Sue for some references. But do you know who the person that I would really go to, whose local history knowledge is second to none, is Julian.
That's right.
Why Julian? Because he has a passionate interest in local history. You can walk around Durham and he can point things out. Windows that have been blocked off, mills that no longer exist that were there before. His knowledge of this area. He works in a museum, an open-air museum. If you've never been to it, you need to go to Beamish Museum. He has a fantastic knowledge of this area. He is definitely worth listening to. If you want to buy a carpet, and you think, "Oh, I like that pink carpet there, that'll go lovely in my hallway," then I suggest before you make that purchase, you maybe want to go to a shop, but go to Hilton, because he will probably be able to say, "Do you know what? That carpet will wear out very, very quickly, and it's not suitable for your passageway, for your entranceway." Why? Because Hilton has 30-odd years.
I don't look it, but I have.
30-odd years of experience in the flooring trade, making people's houses homes. And, of course, you might want to think, "Well, what about music?" Now, do you know what? I like few things about music. I'm a good taste in music. But if you really wanted to know something about music, you probably wouldn't come to me. In fact, I'll tell you a little story. When I was younger, I learned to play the flute. Actually, I held it up somehow. And whilst being inducted into the new orchestra, the conductor, that's the name, isn't it? Came to me and said, "You need to actually play it." I just spent My teacher said, Jeremy, when we were singing in class, she said, Jeremy, don't sing, just mime. So maybe I'm not the person to come to for information about music, but I can recommend Chris as being an authority on music. And not only can he tell you that it's a good piece of music, he can tell you why and how it came to be and its history behind it. And he is fantastic at that sort of information. He's worth listening to. So, why is Jesus worth listening to? Now, Jesus, as we sung this morning, Jesus is God's Son, and he was born of a man. And through this miraculous birth, this meant that he was fully human and he knows the joys of life and the pains of life. And actually he knows what we go through because he's gone through it. Jesus experienced life, so he connects with us here and now. And he's lived in an occupied land where there's oppression from the Romans through an occupying force. He's lived under corrupt kings of Herod who have sought to gain advantage and wealth. Wherever we live, we can also feel that being oppressed, whatever we're doing. And why would we use the word oppression, but bullied, downtrodden in a workplace or at college. You know, Jesus knows what it's like. He's been through it. And he's challenged it. He gets to speak into lives of those who cause the bullying and the oppression. And he can change those people. For example, Jesus was involved in challenging money changers in the temple and tax collectors who were sought to gain profit from people by overcharging them. While he challenged the behaviour, he also reached out to those socially excluded groups. He was their friend and he demonstrated a better way. Jesus knew the pressures of work. He was a carpenter himself. He got alongside fishermen, farmers, and he used the industries of the time to explain the kingdom of God, what it was really, really like. And a key part of his life was the importance of eating together, building friendships, dealing with relationships. Jesus showed us how to connect with people in their own environment, in their own situations. And he took his mission into society, meeting people in their homes, the workplace, the lakeshore or the field. And he went to the home of a tax collector. He revealed his love. People listened and identified with him and were amazed. Just going to show you a short little video now. If you're following, if you've got a Bible there, particularly one with Chinese here, we're looking at Luke 5, verse 16. I think it's the orange things if you want to follow it in Chinese. But this is just a little illustration taken from a passage of the Bible, Luke 5, 16-21. Thanks, Chris. Hopefully we get sound.
Story forward. After the wilderness, Jesus comes back to the region of Galilee, to his hometown, Nazareth. He's in the synagogue, and he's invited to read the scriptures.
And he opens up the scroll of Isaiah, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor."
Why to the poor?
Well, in Hebrew culture, being poor wasn't just about money. It was more about low social status, so women and children and sick, people on the market. And surprisingly, this could include people who had money, like tax collectors. They were considered outsiders too, and so Jesus is here for them.
Then Jesus continues reading.
"The Lord has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor."
Freedom seems like a big deal for Jesus.
Yes, Jesus was freeing people from their sicknesses, from their past, from their shame, and he was freeing them to become a part of God's new kingdom that Jesus said he was bringing into reality.
After this, Jesus appoints 12 men from among all of his.
Okay, so Jesus says He is the person to bring good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for those imprisoned, whether that's by sickness or wrongdoing, which we call sin, or their past, or their present circumstances. He's come to restore the sight of the blind, that's physically and spiritually, and free the oppressed. Free them to come into God's kingdom. And hopefully in the next few weeks, Chris will explain more about what this kingdom is like. Jesus' mission was to bring a new life to those who have been repressed, excluded, and marginalised. And we'll see later on as we approach Easter how he achieved this through his death and resurrection. Not only did he say things that were worth listening to, but he demonstrated the power behind his words. And I've asked Julian just to read a short passage about one of the miracles that Jesus performed. Again, if you've got it, I've marked it in with a pink post-it, which is Luke 5, I think it's around 26. That's the next page on. Thanks, Julian.
Verse 17 to 26.
Yeah.
Jesus heals a paralyzed man. It's from the New Living Translation. One day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strong with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to see Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up on the roof and took off some of the tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat and go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today."
Yeah. Jesus is worth listening to, and he backs up what he says with powerful demonstrations of authority. You know, he was able to say, "Your sins are forgiven." Mere words, "Get up from your mat and walk." He demonstrated the power behind the words. Jesus is worth listening to because he doesn't impose something on us, but he presents the truth. He's worth listening to not because he could engage in a scholarly debate, but because he identifies and knows our problems, and he wants to walk alongside us. He doesn't discriminate. He relates to everyone. He's worth listening to because he didn't just say things, he backed them up by how he lived and what he did. His mission was never just words, but words and actions. And as ours is. The key message that Jesus gave was that of hope. Hope that things can be different, not through our own efforts, attainments or knowledge, but through knowing him and following him. No matter what our situation is, Jesus identifies with it. He wants to walk alongside you, set you free, bring healing into your life, bring comfort and love. The good news is you can experience Jesus by simply trusting what he says. And Jesus speaks today through the Bible, through his word, through what we read, through his church, through his people, and through his spirit. You know, sometimes I think we can get settled and stale in our own ways of living. It becomes a matter of fact, yes, we can read the Bible, but we don't prioritise listening or hearing what he's got to say. And sometimes, if we're honest, we can switch off from listening. And the challenge for us here today is, are we listening? Because he wants to speak to us. He doesn't have favourites. He does speak. And recently I was challenged about my own attitude, about the way I approach reading the Bible, about listening to God. My habit was to go into, we've got a snug room, we had a little settee in there, so kind of get coffee there, Bible, iPad, phone, set on the settee, balance the Bible on my knee, coffee, and then salad. And it's all over the place, because I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling very comfortable, and getting, oh, God's not speaking to me this morning. And a few months ago, I just heard a voice when I was at a church conference, and just said, sit at the table and take me seriously. And I thought, oh, okay. So I've changed my habit. I now sit at the table, put my Bible there, and spend some time just to be intentional about listening to what God is saying. I make notes, I've always made notes about what God's saying. If he's going to say something, it's maybe worth writing it down, just so to remind us, because we forget just like that. So I try to do that every day, because I'm expecting God to speak to me. Last week, some of you know we're trying to sell the apartment. And it's been a worry. The sale has been a worry for me. And particularly last week, I was thinking, the solicitor's going to write and tell me there's a problem. It's probably an irrational thought, but I thought, I'm going to have a problem. I'm worrying now that there's going to be a problem. And even as I was walking up to the door, I was thinking, I hope there's not a letter there. I hope there's not a letter. Because if there's no letter, then God just spoke into my life and just said, stop worrying. Stop worrying. He reminded me about Jesus having control, having authority over the situation. You know, and I thought, oh, just relax. Have a different perspective. Have Jesus' perspective on the situation. Because he can change the way I think and the way I feel, the way I react. And I was so grateful. I was so grateful that God, that Jesus knew what I was concerning myself with and was speaking into my life. So just to conclude, Jesus is worth listening to because he speaks with authority of a human who has experienced what life is like. Sufferings, oppression, hurt, rejection. And he didn't just say nice words, he backed it up with action. Mm-hmm. He knows what he is talking about, and he's worth listening to. Jesus brings hope. He identifies with our situation. He's worth listening to. Not as some random pundit who thinks they know how to play the game of football, but as someone who knows what life is about.